Discover the future of technology at workshopsfest.dev 2023, hybrid edition, featuring both in-person and online sessions led by industry experts. Master modern full-stack development with Angular, Next, React, Quick, TypeScript, NgRx, performance, reactivity, and cutting-edge technologies. Don't miss out. Register now for this groundbreaking event and elevate your expertise. Workshopfest.dev.
What's up, everyone? This is Dariusz Kalbarczyk, co-founder of NG Poland, JF Poland, Quick Poland, and WorkshopFest.dev. Welcome back to the JavaScript Master Podcast. Today's guest is a creator of Solid.js and maintainer of Marco, is a JavaScript performance enthusiast and fine great reactivity expert from the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Carniato. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, thank you. So for those who don't know you yet, please tell us about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, as I already said, my name's Ryan. I work at Netlify on open source, primarily on my project Solid.js, which I started, which is a JavaScript framework, another JavaScript framework. But I've been working on it for quite some time. I started sometime in 2016. So yeah, it's been a good 6 years or so of working on JavaScript frameworks. And now I get to do that every day at work with Netlify.
Wow, 6 years. How did it start?
It was shortly after my oldest daughter was born. It was just kind of timing. I was up late at night, anyways, with the, you know, with the baby schedule. And I was like, okay, I had some ideas and stuff, and our stack at work we had been working on was actually based on an older React library called Knockout.js. I was at the startup, and I was like, what would it look like to modernize it? I wanted to kind of just go there and see if I could build something maybe that we could use at work, because our stack was aging, and it was a bunch of stuff that we kind of put together ourselves. We weren't, it was like 2015, 16, we weren't on React. And we weren't using, Vue or Angular, and we'd kind of just kind of had a hodgepodge of different types of technologies kind of stitched together. We had Knockout with web components and, you know, our own kind of thing. And I was like, we could streamline this. We can do better. So that's really how I got started with Solid.js.
How did your adventure with programming start?
Yeah, I was pretty young. My father was an iron worker, actually, by trade. So he always worked at like the shipyards and stuff. And around when I was 10, he went back to school because he wanted to kind of like modernize, you know, get off the iron beams and the ships and kind of do office work. And he went to a community college and he took computer programming. And I remember because one day he came home and he showed me this thing he'd made, this program. And it had this white arrow that went up this kind of blue screen and it would flicker. I could see like the buffering, but I remember even at 10, I understood like this is something he had made. Like it wasn't him just taking a video or something. Like he told the computer to make this. And he's like, Ryan, it's a rocket ship. And I'm like, not sure if it's a rocket ship, but I like understanding that like you could do that with a computer just kind of opened up my eyes to like the potential. And I almost immediately started learning the language he was using, Quick Basic. And I just like, this is like early 90s. And I just, I've been into it ever since. Just kind of, then the internet came out and people needed websites and I was trying to make my own game engine for a long time. So this journey has been with me pretty much, since that moment. I just knew this is, you know, what I wanted to do was do some sort of programming. And I was fortunate. My dad's youngest brother went to university around the same time, and he had some textbooks on Quick Basic, and I actually learned from these textbooks and the Gorillaz source code. If this is old school, but anyone ever learned Quick Basic, there was something called Gorillaz.baz, which was this game where you like threw exploding bananas, and it was like a battle game, and all the source code was available. I remember printing like 30, 40 pages of this off on a dot matrix printer, you know, the ones with like the holes down the side. And I'd like review the source code, trying to understand what it meant. But we're lucky. It's a lot easier to learn how to program these days.
Now let's talk about SolidJS. What is it?
Yeah, so it is another JavaScript framework, and I like saying another JavaScript framework. But the key thing that makes SolidJS interesting is that it's based on reactive primitives. Basically, this... I'm trying to think of the best way to describe reactive, but it's a system, a declarative system, that auto-detects change and keeps things in sync, which makes it perfect for things like UI. And the reason why this is unique, because in a sense, most UI frameworks are reactive in a sense, is this sort of, I'd call more fine-grained reactivity based on these primitives, like just we have three concepts in Solid: signal, memo, effect, was not very popular for most of the last decade. It goes back earlier to, like, you know, the first JavaScript frameworks, like I mentioned, Knockout. But even before that, if you look in academia and like some functional programming stuff, we're kind of late 1970s. But essentially, the last decade, we've seen this kind of mentality around virtual DOM, which is the idea is you keep your data maybe simple, like plain objects, and you re-render everything in Diffit. And where Solid is different is it's the data that's special. You define a few of these data primitives, like I mentioned, and then they manage all the change and ensure everything's in sync. And this has some implications that are interesting because it changes the way you might author and even what's capable with the framework.
Is SolidJS ready for production?
Solid's been around for a while. We did our 1.0 release back in 2021, so we're getting on 2 years there. And the truth of the matter is the main experience for like client-rendered type applications hasn't really changed much in the last, let's say, four-ish years. Since 2019, we'd almost had a lock on there. So it's stable for production. Companies have been using it. I don't have an extensive list. It's always hard with a new framework, but it is, you know, rock solid, so to speak. Server-side rendering is something that we've been working on. We've also had a solution since around 1920, but on that side, it's a lot less battle tested because it takes a while to build. I'd say like what I almost call like a meta framework around it. The challenge with server rendering is it takes a lot more to configure, so a lot of people won't just like pick it up and just go, okay, I'm going to do my server rendering. You usually use a framework like Next or SvelteKit or Nuxt. And in our case, some people were making these frameworks around Solid earlier, but I was like, I understood that this was where the future of a lot of the R&D was going. So we've been kind of working on the core pieces, core, and we've been creating a project called Solid Start, which is kind of like our Next.js or SvelteKit. And that is not production ready yet. It's in beta. It's been in the works for a couple of years now. It's a big effort. But yeah, that's kind of where I position. If you're doing client rendered apps, kind of typical single page apps, Solid production, go for it. If you are doing server-side rendering, you can use it with some frameworks like Astro, or, you know, which have, you know, more support if you need something like Islands. But Solid's like main offering for server-side rendering is still under construction. People have taken it to production, but I would say, you know, use with caution. If you're on the bleeding edge, you can get in early, and, you know, we'll be, you know, getting to a good place with that soon. But otherwise, I would say client side only if you really want a, you know, a good production environment today.
Does Solid support SEO well?
See, I'm a pragmatist, which is why I needed to give you that big disclaimer there. Like, we do all our project server-side rendering with Solid Start, even though it's in beta. Some big companies have been using Solid Start. I'm not going to, like, there's always a risk there. But yes, biggest thing with Solid is our reactive system is very lightweight and very performant as a first stance. So what this means is that the library is considerably smaller than, you know, some of the more popular options. And it also updates and renders fast. This was good for us because even pure client side solid, would Lighthouse quite well. For a while, I didn't even think we needed server side rendering because we were getting higher scores than server rendered frameworks just because of how fast solid was. And with a few smart architectural things like with routing, like parallelized data fetching in nested routes, there's a lot of things you can do architecturally. That being said, slower network, client rendering is not going to work because you have to wait for the HTML to load, to load the JavaScript. Even with preloads, JavaScript takes some time, then you got to fetch the data. You got like three back and forths. So server-side rendering is an important part. Again, though, those pieces make Solid really good for server-side rendering. The size of the JavaScript means that there's, less to load. And the performance, reduces the overhead of hydration. So generally speaking, from an SEO standpoint, Solid is fairly strong because of the performance angle of it. There is still places to improve. Obviously, there's things like islands, like I mentioned before, using Solid with Astro. If you really, really, really care about page load performance, then that's an option. But that is a MPA framework, we call it, where it does server rendering. So each page navigation is a reload. But you can send the least amount of JavaScript that way and take benefit of Solid's like performance on that side. Solid Start also has an experimental islands mode, which does something similar. And that mode also has client-side routing and islands mixed together, kind of making something similar to React server components. I think that's the future, but as I mentioned, it's still not to production ready yet. But what it enables us to do is send only the interactive bits of JavaScript, even when we client route it after the fact, because what it does is it goes to the server and server renders the page without reloading the whole page. And because the server renders most of the markup, we're able to continue to only have the JavaScript to hydrate the little pieces rather than requiring us to get the JavaScript to render the next page. So really exciting direction in general. We're already seeing performance benefits. There's a lot of complexity that comes with the developer experience side when developing these kind of solutions. So we're going to have to wait a little bit before we put our production stamp on that one.
What makes SolidJS a great option for a new startup?
I think one of the biggest things for us is because it's lightweight and because of the performance aspect. And I don't just mean like raw rendering performance and update performance. I mean that it lends to you writing your app in a way that's performant. There's no like re-render considerations. Changes are isolated just because of the way reactivity works. It makes it very versatile because of those characteristics. Like Solid's like strongest point might be dashboards and like admin panels, things that are really interactive and have lots of little updates, because Solid, its performance when it comes to updates is basically unparalleled. So heavy on the app side is definitely where that benefit comes in. But then when you combine it with things like islands, with things like Astro, lightweight enough to do a lot of good work on your content site and, your landing pages in front of the web. So in a sense, it just gives you that versatility. Admittedly, our ecosystem is not as big as some of the larger frameworks, but again, I've got to thank React to like our reactive system for this. It's really easy to build off the primitives. So we have very quickly, a lot of component libraries coming together. We have equivalents to things like Material UI and Chakra, and what's the other one that's popular? Radix. Basically, we have our own versions of libraries like that that are basic and ports of React libraries. Solid's JSX is like very similar to React, to the point that while the execution is different, it's doesn't take as much as you would think to port libraries over. So not the biggest ecosystem, but it's definitely one that has been growing very quickly.
How does SolidJS stack up against other popular libraries and frameworks in terms of performance and simplicity.
Yeah, I think this is one of the pieces that we talked about. We talked about performance a bunch, but I don't want to, even though the performance is important, it's not just for performance sake. Something funny happens with performance. When you start building with something and it's like performant by default, you suddenly get the opportunity to stop worrying about performance as much. And that's really key to us and our difference. I think probably the most differentiating thing for people that kind of really sets some, apart is, and this is a weird thing to kind of get excited about, but if you go like on Saul's Playground or, if you actually look at what the compiled code outputs for Solid, there's this sort of transparency that around it, in that some people think that, with all this kind of performance that we're seeing with these new frameworks, you need a crazy compiler. And Solid's compiler isn't actually that crazy. That's the thing. When you look at it, we only transform the JSX. So all your code stays the same except for the JSX. And what the JSX gets transformed into basically is just DOM operations in front of you. If you look at the compiler, you might go, oh, if I didn't have a framework, this is how I'd write this myself. We just turn basically DOM updates into what we call create effect calls. So you can literally see in your compiled code, it's almost like jQuery, where you could like literally see, here's some state, here's some effects, update this place in the DOM. You can literally see the DOM being created and like set title on element. And this sort of simplicity is a big boon for us because there's no like virtual DOM in the way. There's no like the only system in here is the reactive system. So you get the sense like when you have a JSX element that's like a div, and you like go div like const my div equals JSX div, like you just get that element back. It is actually a real DOM element. Like there's no in between. This makes it really nice when you interopt with vanilla libraries, from older times, and just have this kind of escape hatch. You just know that at any point you can just leave and just take control. And I think that's probably the most differentiating thing, because a framework that has, this innate performance and this low level, like this abstraction that lets you get like escape out of it very easily, gives the developer an incredible amount of control. That's, some people might think it perhaps is dangerous, but because the defaults are set up so well and you just author it kind of similar to what you'd author maybe something like React, this gives you just an incredible range, which, as I said, might not always be the most appealing aspect for, the beginner, so to speak, but as someone like myself who's been in web development for almost 27 years or something, that level of transparency and control is something I value like so much.
You're listening JavaScript Master Podcast. Listen, code, repeat. Everything you need to know to become an JavaScript super developer.
How seamless is the integration of Solid.js with other tools and libraries in an existing tech stack?
It depends, obviously, what the stack is. Obviously, we work with a lot of other tools quite well. As I mentioned, we have component integrations, but we also have integrations with things like Storybook and, we work with Vtest and Webpack Vite, all the bundlers. Like, that part of the story works well. The trickiest part, obviously, is JavaScript frameworks don't always play nicely with each other, right? There's obviously things like web components, which we have good support for, but like if you just stick them right into each other, it takes a little bit of doing. And the thing is, because of Solid's like, let's pretend you have an existing React code base and you want to bring Solid in, it's not terribly difficult to do it at the leaves, because you can always get a ref from a React element. And I think most frameworks have that escape hatch. In Solid, it's very obvious. I mentioned a div is a div, so to speak, but you still usually have a way of doing that. So with about 30, 40 lines of code, you can make a component wrapper so that basically goes, put my Solid component in React or vice versa. And I've made a few of those. I've actually published a library. I should probably do that. But essentially, that piece isn't too difficult. The hard part actually is the builders and the bundlers, because now you might have two different types of JSX in your project. And, you know, that's probably the main reason why I haven't published the library, because coming up with solutions to handle the multiple different kind of transforms and compilers, that's always takes a little bit more work, even if the runtimes can work together. But that's generally how I'd approach it. I'd probably keep my React app, start new projects, maybe, you know, pieces, new page sections in Solid at the leaves, start building up that amount of shared Solid components, and then hopefully over time, maybe you could migrate it. But the idea isn't to, like, we haven't really strived for putting React in Solid, because while that would give us access to a greater ecosystem, perhaps, I think where apps are today, you're not ready to rewrite your whole app. You want to like change pieces of it. So, our focus has been more on the other side. And to that, I mentioned, obviously, putting Solid components in React, but you can also, we have a state library for React called React Solid State, which is basically our React primitives, create signal, create effect, create memo, that control your React app, kind of like MobX. So you could start by introducing Solid's reactivity into your React app, bring Solid components into your React app that also work off that reactivity, and then, you know, slowly change it over. And as I said, React's obviously the common case, but, you know, if you had a Vue code base, Vue and Solid's reactivity is almost identical. A similar wrapper could be made quite easily. Actually, that's probably the easiest one. And, you know, in other frameworks, usually there's some way of getting external state management. I think it's going to be interesting, because there's been a lot of talking about, you know, Solid's popularized reactivity is called Signals. That's kind of what our popular version is. We're seeing that in more frameworks now. So it might be easier over time for people to kind of like make those interop layers. One cool feature we have in Solid is that we can set an external reactive system, so like say MobX or maybe Angular signals when they come out or whatever, and we can use those signals natively inside Solid's JSX bindings, and they work just like Solid signals. So you can like bring in third-party reactive systems. So there is a story here of how we can kind of permeate into existing systems, but like any engineering problem that isn't greenfield, it obviously takes a little bit more work and consideration.
Signals is a hot topic now.
Yeah, I buried the lead a little bit. I was saying, well, what is SolidJS? If I was just a marketing person, I would have been like, SolidJS, you know, the creator of Signals or something. Or like, the funny thing is we didn't create Signals. Signals, like the concept existed before in things like Knockout. But given all the hype that's been coming up, because Signals got added recently to, I mean, let's walk backwards. Angular, probably the most recent. But if you go back before that, Preact, Quick, and then obviously there's the long time ones like Vue and Solid have had something like Signals for a long time, but even technically Vue hid them. So I'd say Composition API in 2020, if we're stepping back to there, and then, as I said, Solid before that, and then Knockout. But generally, it's kind of been credited to that Solid is big part of why Signals are popular in the hype now. Because Solid, as I said, is a framework. It's a signals framework. Like, it was built on the foundations. It's like some libraries use signals as state management, a way to do optimization. When I built Solid, signals were like the starting point. So every single piece is based on signals, even the renderer, which is kind of crazy in a sense. It makes it unique because there's different sorts of rules, but it means also that the kind of reason people use signals, those kind of performance optimizations, every part of Solid is like that. We have no room to deopt. We can't rewrite. We don't know how to re-render components, essentially. You know, we don't have that virtual DOM. So any place that you would try and de-optimize signals in another solution, just Solid doesn't work that way. So like, we kind of force your code to always be optimal. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why we had to come up with some other interesting solutions if you want to bring it in other libraries. You can do cool things with signals. Like, we have interop with Xstate and with Redux as well, because it's interesting. Those are two different worlds. Like, on their side, they generally use big immutable data trees, which aren't which are fine if you're re-rendering and diffing everything, but they're not really efficient for a library that does pinpoint updates. That's the solid strength, right? There's no re-render. It's literally what changes updates. And in order to get those libraries to work, we actually make use of one of our primitives called a store, which is a nested proxy. It's like nested reactivity. Every single property is reactive. And we have a kind of data diffing algorithm that lets you take the previous state of, say, a Redux and X state, diff it, and then the store will only notify on the things that change, and then your UI will only update in those pinpoint places still. So yes, it's all signals, essentially, but there is interopt with existing state management libraries. People don't often go that route because Solid's built-ins, like the stores and the signals, already basically handle state library, and it can't really get any more efficient from the framework standpoint. But one of the cool things that is with things like state machines, for example, is you have a lot more, like there's more, how should I put it? There's more design around how data flows work. Like they give you more tools, there's a DSL there, and they give you more tools like dev tools as well. So it's still very valuable, you know, if you have a problem that requires state machines, use state machines with signals, you know, like XState with Solid. But for a lot of the simple stuff, I find with state management, 80% of it is around data fetching. So the last little bit, like if you have something really complicated that needs state machines, you use X8 or whatever. But for the most part, until you get to that point, you can just use signals to do that last 20% or stores, essentially. And as for the 80% on the data fetching side, Solid has built-in primitive called create resource, which essentially handles all kind of async data. It basically turns a promise into a signal. And it's super powerful because the framework's aware of this. So it's able to use that to coordinate things like out of order streaming during SSR and suspense placeholders and concurrent rendering, all this powered off this single primitive. And what I love about primitive design like that is it means that when someone goes makes something like I'm not sure if you've heard of it. In React, a very popular data fetching library, it's called React Query. There's a Solid query that is a port of that, and it uses Solid's resource in it. And what that meant was they just use the resource inside. Now we have Solid query, kind of adds that caching layer and all the cool stuff like tab net, like when you switch tabs, it refetches and all that kind of stuff. And they were able to just take their primitive with no configuration, stick it inside our Solid Start SSR project, and it just worked without order streaming, just worked with automatic serialization through hydration. They literally didn't need to do anything from the developer standpoint. Like you just put it in and use it, and it's like it's first party. That's the power of composition and primitives. And that's why I really like the whole signals approach.
How many people are working on Solid.js right now?
There's a number of maintainers and contributors. I am the only person who gets paid full-time to work on Solid right now. But we have a core team of about six people, and they're all working on various aspects of it. Plus, and I can volunteer in their time. Plus, we use our Open Collective money to pay into a fellowship program where we, give a bit of money to often students or people, kind of like younger people getting into software development around the Solid project to work on different projects. Like I believe currently we have three fellowship programs going, one on docs, one on dev tools, and then one on like our rendering technology. And that's been working pretty well for us. And beyond that, we kind of have it's not official as so much as an ecosystem team of people and maintainers who maintain libraries. One of the interesting side effects was we did a hackathon last year, and Solid isn't compatible with React, and immediately made like that's kind of like a bad thing, right? You had a smaller ecosystem, but because it was so easy to port the libraries, it was really cool. We didn't only get new Solid libraries for the hackathon, we got new Solid maintainers. And so there's a kind of community of these guys, people working on these various libraries. And we, support them in our Discord and whatnot. So they're kind of like the outer rim of it. And this fuels into even projects that are core adjacent, like Solid primitives and Solid testing library, where these are just important utilities out in the ecosystem. Solid primitives, everyone who wants to try solid should look it out. It's just like, I figured it's like 80 or 90 solid, like signal hooks, basically, to do everything from like more advanced data fetching patterns, debouncing, throttling, you know, like device specific APIs, basically every little toolbox of what you would need in a solid app. And I'm very proud of the work they've done there, because they actually put in an RFC process and like stages, like proposals. So you can go through stage 1 through 4 and really community driven approach to kind of building out the solids ecosystem. So that's kind of like a shave of like what that looks like in terms of, people working on solid.
What is the best way to start contributing?
Definitely come by the Discord. Have a discussion. Big areas that always need help, and I know this kind of cop out, is docs always need help. So like the easiest way to get started is like follow some of our docs on the website, go through the tutorials, and then be like, did this make sense to me, right? And then just like, if it didn't, keep track of it. I know that's the reason it's a cop out. It's like your first day or two at a new job, and you generally get the handoff from the last person who started, right? Each person's supposed to hopefully make that process a little better, but I know it gets stagnant sometimes over time. But yeah, I mean, I'm serious. I know you have a million other things to worry about when you're getting started with a new tool, but you know, if you take a couple notes and share them, that's probably like the biggest thing. But beyond that, I'd say find an area that interests you where you can get engaged and do work. Find a real project. One of the challenges is with Solid Core, a lot of people come in and like, I want to help with Solid and Solid Core. And that's great, but we don't always have the most work. And I focus on Core a lot myself. It's usually the things that are a little bit outside of the Core that actually need the most work. Like Core has a lot of R&D, but it, you know, it's further out, and then it has like bug fixes, but there's not as many because the Core is the most tested and rock solid, you know, it's a part of it. Whereas, you know, Solid Start or, you know, these primitive libraries or testing, they're all great places where you could build a project and go, hey, I wanted this. It didn't work the way I expected. So yeah, I strongly suggest kind of looking at some of the kind of core adjacent libraries and, you know, find a use case or something that interests you and just try to build something and see what it's like.
What are some notable projects built using Solid.js?
This is always funny because like I kept my head down for a long time when I was like working on this stuff, and the community outreach part is like my weakest part. There's a few I they always like slip my mind from here and there, but like I know, like, for example, the NordVPN website is built with Solid.js. I know Post News is a really cool one. This one's one of the ones I was talking about. Solid Start, they're like a Twitter clone. They have like a billion users, and they are at least signed up, and they're like a new kind of news outlet, kind of Twitter clone. That's all built in Solid Start. Trying to remember. It's so funny because we have a lot of internal people reach out at companies and tell us about it, but I don't always get like the headlines. I know, I there's a lot of stuff ongoing that I'm like not supposed to talk about yet, you know, like we'll see. Like there's some internal stuff at Netflix. There's some stuff going on at Capital One. I should come prepared with a longer list. But I think what we're going to see is Solid kind of got on the radar being something that's production ready summer 2021. Not every project started that year. If you look at that first year after production, mild gains. And then about a year ago in the summer, stuff started ramping up rapidly in terms of downloads and usage. So we're only now, you know, kind of like 6 months past then, starting to see a lot of these projects come to fruition. So I imagine over the next 6 months, we're going to see a lot more of these. As I said, I think it'll obviously benefit our brand a lot that we'll be able to advertise these things. A lot of the times they don't want to advertise until the product is launched, so to speak. A lot of exciting stuff happening.
Can you discuss the learning curve for developers transitioning from other libraries or frameworks to Solid.js?
There's two different ways to teach Solid, and my guy Dan would tell you all about like his different approaches to it. He's the guy in charge of the docs, and I'm glad he is. The challenge is that in a lot of ways, Solid's model, once you understand the reactivity, is one of the most simplistic, but you have to understand the reactivity, which is like the caveat here. So like, oh, there are some frameworks that are positioned like you don't have to really think about reactivity. You just like Svelte is a prime example where you literally just write a bunch of let variables and then go let x and then put x in your template and it just works. And the interesting thing about that is you can basically get pretty far without understanding at all how it works, and then realize later that there's a lot more going on under the hood. Vue to a certain degree is like that as well. React was on the opposite side, where they're like, here's a bunch of primitives and there's best practices of how to put them together. Solid is more like that. I think the biggest thing though is there is still like a tiny bit more of a learning curve over React because you have to understand how signals work. But once you understand how signals work, everything else is an extension of that. So it's like, there's like this little, like not, there's a little like spike near the beginning, not the sharpest spike, but once you get past that spike, the rest of the framework just kind of falls into place because it's literally just signals. Like the whole framework is just signals. The challenge we're facing for the most part right now is that because Solid's approach to rendering is so different than what they've been going on the last 10 years, that in a lot of ways, new developers have an easier job learning Solid than say like React developers, which is like mind-bending to people because Solid for the most part looks like React. We've been called like the most like React look-like framework when we're not, it's at all. We just, we don't have like some other React-like frameworks might have different conventions or special syntax. The only convention difference for Solid is the fact that you call the state with as a function, that it's a signal instead of just the value, but it otherwise looks identical to React. There's not other, it doesn't like differentiate in other ways. And the truth is it works completely different. So this is a bit of I once had a streamer kind of comment that Solid felt like riding your bike with your handlebars backwards or something like that. Admittedly, well, that's a matter of perspective. I told them, I'm like, how do you know you haven't just been riding with your handlebars backwards this whole time? It's definitely takes a little bit, and we've gone to almost to the point that we have conversations around what we call React brain. And to be true, Solid has its own certain conventions and stuff that I would say make it different too. So there's a Solid brain out there as well. But I think that's probably the biggest point of where there's like a little bit of like a, you know, what just happened? I thought it worked one way and it did. There's a kind of bait and switch feel. The thing is, we never advertise it that way. I think people learning should look at the docs. One of the biggest challenges we've had with Solid is people be like, go on stream or, you know, to some kind of thing like, today we're going to use Solid for the first time, and they just don't look at the docs. They literally just pick it up and use it and start using it like React. Super, super common. I say like 80 or 90% of people pick up Solid, don't look at the docs and just pretend it's like React. And it gets them, they have an amazing experience for the first 2 hours or so. Like I watch the streams, I always know, maybe it's an hour and a half in, they're like doing everything and it's so powerful. I'm like, this is amazing. This is like they improved. React should have always been like that. And then they realize, oh wait, why is this not updating? Something's different. And I think that's one of the places we're going to put a lot more focus in the future. I mean, it's hard if someone doesn't look at the docs. How do you make them look at the docs? Well, the answer to that is we've been doing a lot more with TypeScript and like compiler warnings and stuff to kind of guide people a little better. Because if you know, they're not going to the docs, we got to come to them. So that's been a kind of interesting focus as of late, because it's interesting to be in a position where it's more challenging for people with a certain type of experience rather than beginners, so to speak. But that's just the result of a lot of our design choices, which it's interesting to me because I said we didn't set out to copy React. Really, it was just like a bunch of funny things. Like the JS actually was valuable and we did pull that from React. And we did end up kind of with something that looks similar to React's Hooks API. But the truth of the matter is we had hooks or signals before React had hooks. So like we were already using these kind of patterns. And I was just sitting there going, man, how do I make sure that we get unidirectional flow? I didn't want two-way binding. And then React released React hooks. I was like, oh, that return the array. That's the trick. But it's just interesting that it wasn't like us trying to copy React and React 18. It was more of like I saw some stuff from React that improved what we were already doing. But we were, Solid is otherwise a very, very different framework. In React, we're almost on the opposite sides from a, how the technology works standpoint. I think that one of the interesting things about it, what make it kind of, and why people rave about it, is because components don't re-render. There's no like memoizing primitives. There's no react.memo or use callback. Even use ref. There's no actual... There's basically no primitive to handle the fact that things re-render, which means that when you pull all those away, all you're left with are hooks that essentially deal with data, like our state or our derived state or our side effects. And this is very powerful because it basically eliminates half of the language of React, so to speak, which means it feels really nice because it's like, okay, I'm kind of developing something that feels like React, except I don't have to worry about all the hooks that are there just for performance. In a sense, React is working on a compiler to do just that. And the compiler is going to like generate a bunch of code in the background that, you know, auto-memoizes and makes sure things don't rerun. But what's interesting, as I said about the Solid approach, is you get that performance, you get that execution without a fancy compiler. As I mentioned, you literally look at the output and we don't change your code. So like this is sort of the difference there and why people kind of like the DX. It might start similar to React because you're like, oh, I just got some state and some JSX. But then when you get to the next step, you kind of realize that like a whole class of consideration just isn't there. There are new considerations. Signals have this one rule, and especially when we adhere to it so strictly and Solid, it's that you have to access them where you use them. So it is possible to lose reactivity. We have like linters that warn you about this and stuff, but you can kind of understand that this in this world it is possible, and it's possible with the easiest thing, destructuring props. I just tell people don't destructure props and then you're fine. But that's generally like the difference. If you're okay not destructuring props, which for some people apparently this is like a deal breaker, and we actually have a Babel plugin that undestructures props, that lets you destructure them and then convert them into not being destructured so Solid can use them. But again, I didn't want to get too crazy with the compiler, you know. I just wanted like the code you write to be the code you get out. But yeah, if you use that, I guess you're fine. But if you can live with that, then you remove a whole bunch of considerations or like hook-like features that deal with memoization. You're never asking like, do I need to make this into a new component to be optimized? Like, how do I avoid re-renders? How do I hoist the state? Like, does putting this in context cause the whole app to re-render a bunch? These are just not considerations. You put a bunch of signals in context and use them, it's only going to rerun the places they're used. It's not at all tied to the render tree. So I would say in a lot of ways, maybe Vue, but Vue has like its other kind of stuff. I don't know if there's actually a framework that has the same sort of DX as Solid, where you have this combination of like very primitive, very like not a bunch of magic shorthand type stuff. Like basically everything's just JavaScript, JSX, you know, and with the kind of ability to just not worry about, you know, these kind of memoization or update patterns. As I said, it's like somewhere between say Vue and React, and hopefully gets the right mix.
How has SolidJS attract interest and adoption in the web development community?
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one because it's like hard to track. We've been like the work I've been doing and the community, you know, our kind of maintainers have been doing has been very much on the bleeding edge for several years now, right? The Signal stuff, you know, was a big deal. But then we also were one of the first frameworks to have streaming and out-of-order streaming with our SSR. We pushed the boundaries on stuff like server components and islands as well. And there's a bit of that that obviously lends into, you know, being mind share because people like understand about the performance and, you know, kind of like these DX benefits that we've been talking about. But that doesn't win over the larger audiences. And I that's just a slow journey. I think what we've just been seeing is this, like, you know, it starts with people trying it, people liking it. And then, you know, each little piece that kind of helps them solve their problem kind of allows us to get to the next step. I think the beta release of Solid Start was really big for us. That not that many people are using it yet, but when people can see the potential of the technology, and go, like, this is incredible. Like, again, our compiled server functions and stuff, server dollar sign, which we got the dollar sign from Quick. I got to give them a heads up there. But the using it for that application to do remote RPCs was another thing, you know, to kind of influence the rest of the ecosystem. We're seeing it now obviously Quick added it, but we're also seeing it in React itself. So, like, I think once people kind of can see the picture coming together, and it alleviates a pain point that they're feeling today in development. In a lot of cases, it's just, you know, the knowledge that, you know, single page apps have been kind of big or bloated, and that trying to wrangle re-renders is a problem. You know, it's just kind of like this perfect storm, I feel like, where people are right now looking for something new, right? There's a reason why we're seeing islands and stuff like Quick and server components coming out, because we're at a time of things changing, and Solid happens to just be in kind of a nice sweet spot where it's new enough to leverage this technology as it's coming out, and old enough that it had enough of a following, you know, and enough of a buy-in, you know, as we kind of jumped into this zone. So, yeah, it puts it in a nice place because it's got, as I mentioned, it's a lot more mature than some of the newer solutions, but it's not so mature that it, you know, doesn't have a lot of the, you know, most, you know, cutting edge technology.
What are the key challenges developers may face when working with Solid.js for the first time?
So for the first time, yeah, we talked about this a little bit. I think you just got to get a grasp of reactivity. Thankfully, it's so funny because now that other solutions are picking this up, it's going to be so much easier to explain it. When I started Solid.js, and, you know, before other people joined on the team and, you know, we had that kind of stuff, I would go on and I'd be like on Twitter or something, and the people would have a discussion, and they'd be like, people really like their lines in the sand. They were like, okay, Svelte and Vue is over here, React's over here. You can't, you know, this has this benefits, this has this benefits. And I was like, no, you can get all the benefits. And so I would kind of have these conversations, and people like, who are you, this random guy, you know, arguing with Rich Harris or, you know, Dan Abramoff or whatever. And I'm like, no, it's completely possible. And they're, and, you know, I basically, people didn't believe anything I said. So then I am going somewhere with this. So I ended up realizing that getting into Twitter discussions and social media discussions about this stuff was pointless. So I started writing educational content, and I realized that in order for Solid to exist or people get into it, I'd have to make a huge amount of content to actually bring people up to speed, because it's almost like a parallel universe a little bit. I also worked on another dev team called Marco, which basically originators of like the server first JavaScript framework and islands and stuff. They've had it since like 2014. And I was in a similar place. We had to build so much literature to just explain the concepts so that people understood, you know, some of the problems we're solving. Luckily for Solid's case, it's harder on the server side thing because people aren't as equipped. The pain problems that people are feeling with updates and reactivity and stuff was something that once got people understood. But I ended up writing article after articles about how signals work and this kind of like learning process. And luckily now that with Preact and Quick and Vue acknowledging their signals and Angular, I think the educational content around signals is going to be, you know, like at a whole nother level. I'm not going to have to do this all myself anymore. And I think that's going to make a big difference in terms of that. But that is definitely the thing. As I said, like it's once you get the reactivity, the rest of the framework is just like, oh yeah, of course. Like there's no other layer. There's no like special, you know, like renderer or something like the, like the compiler is a little complicated, but the reason the compiler is complicated is because the outputted code is so simple. So it gives this thing where you can just be like, oh, I have a count, create effect, element dot text content equals count. Like that's basically what gets compiled. Like I think, yeah, it's, we need to embrace our fine grained reactive signals and then we're good to go. Beyond that, I mean, that's obviously the obvious answer. I think we're always working on docs, but like you just don't have the same Stack Overflow knowledge base. When you get stuck, you're probably coming in the Discord and there's a number of people who are great in there and answering questions or posting an issue on GitHub discussions or something. You will get answers on Reddit or Stack Overflow, maybe a little bit slower, but like there isn't like this knowledge base of training and tutorials like that you might find in React or Angular. Like those two, especially in Vue, I guess as well, you can just go on the internet and like ask a question and have like dozens of answers. We don't have that today. So I will say that would be the other thing. But if you are in a position where you're building, especially you're in a startup and you're like, you gotta have your own design system anyways, and you're kind of building stuff, you just need a few key libraries, then I think that kind of difficulty isn't going to really harm you too much. In fact, it might, I won't say encourage, but it might empower you to actually make a more performant, powerful solution.
What are some best practices for boosting performance when using Solid.js in the web application development?
Yeah, that's an interesting one because a lot of the stuff's kind of inherent. There's like the type of performance gains that we can get in Solid beyond the stuff that you just get for free are much more subtle and almost the kind of that I only care from a benchmarks perspective, I guess. So I'm like tempted not to mention like little things like larger templates, like less component wrappers, obviously impact things, but not even that much. Let's see, what would I do as a developer? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the architectural stuff, right? It's not going to be about, as I said, the cool thing about Solid is because like the reactivity is kind of isolated. If you have one really slow part of the app, you'll probably know it and it won't impact the rest of your app. Like it's not all tied together in a re-render tree or something. I think it's the next step up, like higher on the abstraction. When you do your data fetching in waterfalls are going to be like the kind of things that I'd be concerned with. I'd be concerned with complexity around state management and stuff. Like a good practice in Solid is what can be derived should be derived. This is probably my biggest piece of advice. Thanks for kind of ringing my head on that for a moment is, you don't really want to be, you can use reactivity to synchronize stuff, you know, like create effect, write a signal, but you don't want to do that. My biggest recommendation is learn how to write stuff so that things are derived a lot. So like, you know, double count, it equals count times two. Do you follow what I mean? Like it's basically, instead of writing the new value, write the new, how should I put it? Instead of like having like setting a signal, have it be a computed or memo is what we call them, where you basically derive the value. So it's like an equation.
Can you mention key improvements planned for Solid.js in the future releases?
Yeah. So I already mentioned the server component stuff, which is our version of kind of client routed server rendered islands. That one's really going to be exciting. I think because it, with something like that, you get the feeling of a single page app, but you eliminate 80%, 80, 90%. Like we saw this at eBay when we did islands, like we reduced up to 85% of the JavaScript code just from this technology. And that's like 85% of the JavaScript code you ship. That's like 85% of the JavaScript code that you run at hydration. So it's a huge performance benefit before we change anything else on the framework. The other area that we're working on here is, We're updating our reactive system to be even lazier. This will help us do patterns like off-screen and virtualization. What I mean by that is essentially, while we push notification, we won't do any work until part of the UI asks for it. So you could picture, you could have a, you know, like a table with 1,000 rows, and then you're only showing 100 of them, and an update won't update the rows that aren't on the screen. You can already do this with libraries, but we're thinking of how we can build that kind of technology into the core of it, the framework itself. So we have primitives for that, where you can just like, you don't need like special end user code. It will just work that way. Automatic batching is another one, because once we're lazy, it'll be easier to just defer updates until they're needed or called. And I think a lot of the work in Solid 2.0 is around those areas. Once we get those two, that is reduce 85%, 80, 85% of the hydration costs and bundle size. And when we get this new kind of more performant, lazier reactivity, I do want to do some looking into resumability. I've already worked on a resumable framework. Marco 6 is a resumable framework. And obviously there's Quick, which I've worked closely with those guys as well. I see a lot of benefit there to get that like last few percentage of performance. But I think there's some, we're going to tackle some of what I consider bigger wins first, and then circle back around and see how we want to handle this. My suspicion is that with the new routing paradigm that comes in around, I'm calling server components, this is something that doesn't matter your approach, whether you have resumability or whatnot. If you are interested in this, you're going to have to solve it something like what we're looking at. And that kind of changes the game. All our question of like how optimizations work or what are needed are probably going to change a bit when we kind of embrace it. Like my big thinking idea, or my spicy take, so to speak, is that there's a lot of talk about next gen frameworks and all that, but I think the actual point that we are hitting the next generation, and it's as big as when we move from, you know, multi-page to single page app, is this new sort of routing, hybrid routing that's happening right now. Every time we've gone through a generational change, it's been a change in routing, essentially, right? We went from like server routed apps to client routed apps. We went from those hash states to push state, which let us do SSR, because before that, the server had no idea, like there's no way to have the server know what, you know, you couldn't navigate in the client and have the server know about it. And now this new hybrid routing is that next generation. Again, it's an architectural consideration. It's like that layer above that we need to kind of look at. And my gut is this is a game changer. And it'll have everyone kind of reevaluating how they think about what interactivity on the page means, you know, under this new paradigm.
What factors should developers consider when choosing to adopt Solid.js for their next project?
There's always a risk with a newer framework because of the ecosystem size. So if most of your requirements have you building your own stuff anyways, or it's internal, I definitely consider it. If performance is high priority, and it isn't for all projects, but if performance of size is important, I would definitely consider it.
What are available resources for developers to explore and begin with Solid.js?
It starts with a website, which I've mentioned before, but there's a lot of really great resources on the website. There's obviously the tutorial and the docs and links to GitHub and Discord. But there's also a resources tab that I think everyone should check out, where we link articles and libraries. And you can go in there. There's hundreds of Solid libraries in there. It's the best place to actually look for them. You just search what you're looking for, a form, put it in. There's 7 form libraries. You get a real good idea. It doesn't have every library, but we try to keep up to date on it. And if you, again, want to learn about Solid, there's videos, articles, hundreds of those in there as well. So huge amount of knowledge resources and libraries you can use, just linked right off the website. If I could advertise it more, I would. The other thing is, as I said, get involved in the community, come join the Discord. You'll find us all there, and we can get start building.
That was the last technical question. Now, let's move on to the non-technical part. What kind of person is Ryan? How do you see yourself?
Oh, that's an interesting one, because I didn't start out trying to prove something to everyone, just prove it to kind of a small circle. This kind of conception around frameworks, like who's going to bother making a JavaScript framework? It is a lot of work, and don't we have enough of those? So it does definitely take a certain kind of personality that doesn't mind kind of spitting in the wind, what is the term is, because, you know, it's like, it's an uphill battle. But it's, for me, it didn't start with any kind of ambition to that sense. I was a pure kind of technology play. I was like, React, I saw these like memes and things where people are like, virtual DOM slow are fast, DOM is slow, and all this stuff. And I watched all those early React talks, you know, when Pete Hunt came out and Brian Florence, and they did all these talks explaining like the performance benefits of the virtual DOM and all this stuff. And I was like, it wasn't what I'd observed. And I really liked the pattern around like these composable primitives. And React at that point was like using classes. So I was like, I just wanted to do this for myself. I wanted to prove that it could be fast. And it was only after React hooks, you know, were released that I was like, oh, other people might be interested in it. I'm going to, you know, promote it or talk about it more. But so I think that's important to understand, because like I built the framework based on what like me with, I forget, maybe 12 or 13 years of experience under like wanted, not based on like adoption. So I mean, it shows sometimes people get to the doc site, like the old one that I wrote myself, and they're kind of like, what the hell is he talking about? But you just have to understand, like, this is like, it came from like an engineering standpoint of something that I wanted to show was possible, and it's only afterwards that other people came on and were like, hey, this thing is a real thing. So it's so funny, because I started it because I was like, I'd become more of a manager at work, and I wasn't coding as much during the day. You know, this kind of tends to happen over time. And I was like, okay, how do we streamline things? And, you know, I started building this. And then nowadays, I do get a mix, but it is interesting. I'm actually doing a lot of management from the solid perspective rather than just pure, like, put on the headphones and get coding. So it's funny how these things full circle, but maybe that gives you a little insight into me personally, because it's like, at a certain point, you realize that the odds are just insurmountable, especially when you do things by yourself. You can't accomplish anything. So you have to lean heavily on the community, and these are volunteers. You don't, you know, there's not people getting paid necessarily. But the funniest thing is we just keep on going, and more people kind of join on, right? So at a certain point, I guess, like a snowball becomes an avalanche. So we're just going to keep on going.
Do you have some hints for us regarding self-organization?
Oh, I wish. Honestly, like, time boxing is like the best thing I could do. And it's tricky because time boxing doesn't always allow you to be productive in the way you want. It's actually really frustrating because you're I try not to interrupt myself when I'm on a roll, when I'm like into it. But the problem is you can stare at the same problem for days on end and just waste a bunch of time. So it's, I'm definitely about like windowing off and being like, okay, and making time for like planning. I mean, this is the same stuff you hear. It's all the same stuff you hear when you're working on products, because that's what I did before. Before I worked on these platform teams, like at eBay, and, you know, Netlify, what I'm doing now, I spent, you know, the first, you know, whatever, I guess 15 years of experience on product teams, building, delivering real products to people. And in those cases, you have that same kind of process, and it applies here too as well. You know, make sure you plan, make sure you, you know, set out the kind of the goals and objectives, scope creep, all those kind of things kind of come into play. So I require that same amount of discipline when approaching these problems and time box. And as I said, if you do it that way, it depends on your motivation, but maybe you don't burn out because you just do a little bit every day and it eventually comes something. I mean, it's hard to reproduce the patterns that got me here. I feel like there's a lot of chance and luck, and it just was a lot of times the right thing at the right time, but then one opportunity leads to the next, and here we are.
What do you enjoy doing the most in your leisure time?
It's funny, because music was a big thing for me, although I don't play that much anymore. But I played guitar and played in bands for years and years and years. Solid's Framework got its name, actually. Like, I suck at naming, and my band... It's so funny, because we just had Easter here, and I was in a band called Mr. Solid, and it was based off a chocolate Easter bunny that was left around Easter time so many years ago. And then eventually the band's name became Solid. And then when I was like, you know, 5 years after that band was done or whatever, I was like sitting there kind of going like, what do I name my JavaScript framework? And I was looking at stuff that was available on NPM and stuff. And it's hard. Like, even things that don't exist, like, are on NPM. And like, I found solid-js. Like, not even solid.js, but like, I went through so many names. And then I was like, let's just go with it. You know, no, I'm not in the OOP, you know, object-oriented sense, just like solid, like it's like solid foundation. And I mean, that's kind of funny how the music played into that. But in terms of hobbies today, I still like doing hiking. I'm from Vancouver, BC, even though now I'm in California, and we had like the mountains, the coastal mountains and stuff, and we'd always kind of venture into those every week. I grew up on basically side of a mountain, not all the way up, but I'd mountain in my backyard right from when I was a kid. And that's still something with that me and my family participate in a lot. We hike every week, nothing big anymore because we've got the little kids, but they're quite avid hikers too.
A book you would recommend to our listeners?
The last two books I read are in a complete opposite side of the spectrum. I've been on the non-technical side. I mean, they're both kind of non-technical, but on the really non-technical side, I've been reading fiction. I've been catching up on The Witcher. I hadn't read it before, and so I've just been reading Last Wish, Sword of Destiny. Was the last book I completed. Not going to get much advice out of that one other than it was very entertaining. I guess there's like the whole moral ambiguity question of what's right and wrong. And then the other side, Fred from Astro actually sent me a book. Fred from the Astro company, Astro Framework, sent me a book. And that was the second most recent book I read, which is called Crossing the Chasm, which is a book all about product marketing, which is kind of a weird thing, you think. But JavaScript frameworks these days are a product. So the book was all about understanding the difference between early adopters and how to get mainstream adoption, which is very interesting to me because there's in tech, it's a different journey. And it's not even just, it doesn't matter what kind of tech, it's kind of fostered by the fact that technology is always changing and that it requires buy-in and that, you know, older technology, like basically everything has a expiry date on it. That mentality has led it that there isn't a smooth curve of adoption. There's actually a gap between like early adopters and like enthusiasts and the mainstream. And to get across that gap, you almost have to completely change what you're doing compared to what you did to get the early adopters. Early adopters and stuff are all care about like the potential and the innovation. Whereas mainstream audience just wants to know how you can package it up. So it was a very insightful book for me, kind of looking at even open source, where people generally don't get money except for donations, as essentially a business of sort, and just kind of shifting my mindset about how we can grow Solid further.
I'm truly grateful for your participation in the podcast. Your insights and contribution made it an unforgettable experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.